The reading tonight is from Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 1 to 15. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him, because they saw the miraculous signs he had performed on the sick. Then Jesus went up to a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. And when Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. And Philip answered him, "8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up, "Here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted, and he did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over, and let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is coming to the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. This is the word of the Lord.
This miracle, the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, is the only miracle that we find recorded in all 4 Gospels. And it's probably one of the best known Bible stories. Although apparently recently the other day, John was watching Match of the Day, when the football pundits were talking about an upcoming match where a giant in the league was playing a lowly minnow. And they said, "Wouldn't it be great if this team beat the top team?" And one of the commentators said, "That would be a loaves and fishes job," at which the rest of the commentators looked totally blank. So perhaps not everybody knows the story. But anyway, this story, as I said, is found in all 4 Gospels. The only one found in all 4 Gospels. We can read it in Matthew chapter 14, Mark chapter 6, and Luke chapter 9. And if you read all 4 accounts together, it gives you a much fuller picture than we have just in John alone. Matthew and Mark tell us that this event follows the death of John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin. Mark and Luke tell us that it follows the sending out of the 12 disciples and that Jesus wanted to spend some time with them, eat and get some rest. Jesus is sad because of a family death, rather a family murder. And the disciples are excited because of the success of their mission. They want to be together, to be quiet, relaxing together and talking over the events of the days, both good and bad. And as they get into the boat, a large crowd impressed by the miracles of Jesus decide that they're going to get there first. They follow on foot, so they must be pretty quick. They run around to the other side of the lake. Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell us that Jesus had compassion for the uninvited crowd. He heals them, and he teaches them, and then he wants to feed them. John gives us none of these details. Not because I'm sure he didn't think they were interesting, but because his way of putting things is all to do with Jesus and the signs, and the importance and the spiritual relevance behind them. The disciples and Jesus look at the problem that they face. There are 5,000 men, plus women and children, who are tired, hungry, and need to be fed. John tells us that Jesus knows what he's going to do, but what will the disciples' reaction be? Well, Philip is practical. I don't think he had a calculator, but somehow he works out how much it would cost to give the crowd one bite of food each. That's going to cost 8 months' wages. Who's got 8 months' wages with them? Nobody. Where's the nearest shop? What can they do? Matthew and Luke report that the disciples' solution was to send the people away to find their own food. We can't do anything. It's impossible. Just tell them to go away and get it themselves. And then Andrew, he finds a boy who has 5 small loaves and 2 fish. The other disciples know that these exist as well. They're only 5 loaves and only 2 fish. And when we're talking loaves, we're not talking bloomers. We're talking bread rolls. And so we've got 5 tiny little bits of barley bread and a couple of sardines. And Andrew goes to Jesus with this young boy and says, well, there's a boy here. He's got this picnic. 5 loaves, 2 fishes. What are we going to do with that? Jesus tells the disciples, sit the people down. Mark, always one for the details, tells us that the grass is green. They're sitting down on the green grass in groups of 50 and 100. Jesus gives thanks to God for the food and the disciples distribute it. Everyone eats as much as they want. And there are even 12 baskets full of food left over. As a result of this, the people say, he must be the prophet. Let's make him king. But Jesus escapes from them because it's not yet time. But that's the story. It falls to Roger in a couple of weeks' time to explain the theological bits. So what about us tonight? I was thinking as I was preparing for this, what can we learn for ourselves? And I came up with a few things. First of all, there is nothing wrong with wanting friendship, rest, and food. Nothing wrong with wanting friendship, rest, and food. Jesus needed to get away. His cousin has just been murdered. He needed time to be with friends who could comfort and strengthen him. His disciples had just come back from a busy mission. They'd been healing people and preaching. They needed time to recharge their batteries, to spend time with him. Never feel guilty about taking some time out. I was reading a book this morning about Nehemiah. And it said, don't feel guilty about taking time out. Don't burn yourself out. We all need to rest occasionally. However, as with this story, there are times when we need to be prepared to give those up to meet the needs of others. Have you ever really wanted to be quiet? You just put the telly on, glass of something in your hand, and there's a knock on the door, and you say, I really wanted to be alone tonight. Oh, you settle down and the phone rings. Someone's got an emergency. Has it got to be me? Yeah, it's got to be you. There are times when we will have to give up those longed for times to help others. You know, we think about the Lord here. He's grieving. He's tired. He's hungry. I suppose he could have said when he saw the crowds, I don't want to help them. Send them all away. But we read he was moved with compassion. And not only did he welcome them, he then spent more time healing them and teaching them, when perhaps on a human level he would rather have been on his own with his friends. We need to ask God for wisdom. Yes, we need to rest. Yes, we need to take time out. But there will be times when we will be called upon to give those times up in the service of others. And we need to get the balance right. And then Jesus had compassion for the crowd. Matthew says he had compassion, and Mark adds it's because he saw they were like sheep without a shepherd. I don't know much about sheep, but I suppose if you go wandering up through the Beacons, you do tend to see sheep wandering all over the place and onto the road. The last time we were up there, we saw a sheep had wandered far off the grass and was in the middle of the road trying to eat a bit of scrubby grass in the middle. Jesus looks at this crowd, this huge crowd, 5,000 men plus women and children, and he has compassion on them. I don't know many Greek words, but I like this one because it's one of my favourites. It's splagnitsomai. I mean, it's a good word to say, isn't it, apart from anything else. Jesus was filled with splagnitsomai. And it means that he was moved with sympathy. To put it not quite so nicely, he had a gut-wrenching feeling. You know, if you read some of the older versions of the Bible, it talks about our bowels being moved within us with compassion. Doesn't sound very nice, does it? I know, but that's what it says. Because the people in those days believed that the centre of your emotions was in your bowels, in your guts. And if you really felt something deeply, you would have a gut-wrenching feeling. Ever had a gut-wrenching feeling? Yes. You know, the day your exams are coming out. Oh boy, that's a gut-wrenching experience, isn't it? The day perhaps you're going off somewhere new. The day that you know something awful has happened to somebody. And that's how Jesus felt. Compassion. So strong that he was moved to do something about it. And he had concern for the people who were around him. He knew that they were hungry, physically and spiritually. So he helped them. He was generous. They were satisfied. And he gave much more than they needed in order that that could be taken away to help others. So that's what we learn of Jesus. How about the disciples? Well, they lacked Jesus' compassion. They wanted to send the people away. You know, they worked out in their minds how much it would cost, thought of all the problems and thought, can't be done, they better feed themselves. Surely they must have known that Jesus could help. Haven't they seen the water into wine at the wedding of Cana? Haven't they seen him do miracles? But that didn't seem to cross their minds. They looked at the size of the problem and their limited resources and came to the conclusion that nothing could be done. So just get rid of them. Even Andrew, who finds the boy with his little lunch, is not really too full of faith, is he? Well, there's this little bit of bread and fish here. You can take it, but what use is that? There's thousands of people here. There's not enough here to make one sandwich. But alone 20,000. Not much faith. However, it's not all bad news for the disciples. When Jesus does tell them what to do, they do it. He says, there's the grass. Sit them down in groups of 50 and 100. Bring me the food. Now give it out. I wonder if they were doing that, they remembered the wedding at Cana. It was as the servants poured the water out that it became wine. And here, as they passed out the bread and fish among this immense crowd, there was enough for everyone. What about us? A few questions for us, perhaps, tonight. Why are we following Jesus? We read at the beginning of the passage that this crowd were following Jesus because they wanted to see a miracle. They wanted to see something spectacular. Well, they certainly saw something spectacular, didn't they? They got what they wanted. But even when they saw it, they didn't see the truth behind it. And later on, as Roger will be saying in a couple of weeks' time, even when the meaning behind it was explained, a lot of them turned their backs on the Lord and didn't want to follow him. Do you want God to do a miracle for you? He may well. What if he doesn't? Will you still follow him? What if he does do the miracle and then calls you to follow him? Will you follow him? Or do you just want the miracle? Do we have compassion and concern for those around us? Do we say, the problems are too big, that every time I go into town, there's someone asking for money. Every time I turn on the television, there's one of those adverts that makes me want to turn it off. Every time I open a magazine, there's another advert. Every time I come to church, someone's saying, we need more money, we need more help. Every time I put the news on, I think, my life, what's going on in the world? The problem is too big. So what do? Let them sort it out themselves. I know we can't exactly send them away. You just shut it out. Let someone else deal with it. Let them sort it out themselves. I haven't got anything that can help. Or I haven't got enough to help. Are we moved by compassion to practical action? Giving what we do have to Jesus. Might not be much. Certainly in comparison to the problem, it's not much. If we haven't got what it takes to solve the problem, perhaps someone else has. Andrew had no money and no bread and fish. But he found the boy who did. So if you're not the answer to someone's problem, maybe you know someone who is. We need to give all that we have, all that we are to Jesus, knowing that it's not enough. We know that our human resources are meager in comparison to the problems of the world. But we have a God who can take the little that we give and turn it into abundant blessing. Even if it's something small, when it's given to God totally, in compassion and love and full surrender, he can take it and use it. 5 loaves. 2 fishes. In the Old Testament, we read about a lady who had a tiny bit of oil and a little bit of flour. Doesn't sound much of an appetizing meal to me, but that's what she had. Elijah says, give me the first cake, and then and she gave what she had, and God multiplied over and over and over again. I just love the story in the Judges, where Shamgar kills all these Philistines with an ox goad. Do you know what an ox goad is? I looked this up. And apparently, it's an 8-foot pole with a spade on one end and a point on the other. What? It reminds me of that bit in Dad's Army, you know, where Captain Mannering tells them all to bring a weapon with them from home. If you haven't watched Dad's Army, it's all about this group of men who are defending the home country during the war. They can't go and fight. And they've got nothing. And Captain Mannering, the pompous captain, says, you must bring a weapon. And so there's the man with the gun and the man with something else. And then Private Pike, who was a bit of a stupid boy, is standing there with a broom with a kitchen knife on the end of it. And Captain Mannering says, what's that? And he says, you told us to improvise. He said, yes, but you could have taken the broom off the end first. You know, that's what Shamgar had, an 8-foot pole with a point and a spade on the end, and he killed 800 people with it. What have you got? What have I got that I can give to God today? It won't appear much against the problems of your family, the town, the country, the world. We've heard of huge problems tonight over in India. And we would think, that's impossible, we can't do anything about it. But we need to ask God for wisdom. We can't help everyone. But say to God, give me a heart of compassion. And when there's someone you want me to help, let me know. And I will give you whatever I've got, and you can take it, and you can multiply it. You can multiply it, and it will bless thousands and maybe even millions of people. As we were saying, how much does it cost to provide a Gideon New Testament? Not a lot. But how many people can it affect? How many people can become Christians and be blessed through it? And £2 is, in our country, very little. Don't let the problem overwhelm you. Go to God and say, yeah, the problems are great. Take what I've got and turn it into something wonderful. We just pray that, like Jesus, we will have compassion. Like the boy, we will be generous. Like the disciples, we will be obedient. So that a needy world, a needy town, a needy family, a needy me and a needy you will find Jesus, who has the words of eternal life. The one who can do miracles. The one who can meet every need and so much more. But we need to give him all that we have and all that we are and ask for his compassion in a world of need. Amen. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Let's say the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.